Testament reading for our Annual Tablet is written in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Then David took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, rude and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will dig the dead bodies of the hosts of the Philistines this day, to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Working together with them, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, "In a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors, and yet are true, as unknown, and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as punished, and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. This is the word of the Lord, the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry, and the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sermon for the first Sunday in Lent is based on the Holy Gospel, according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, the devil came. Let's start the text. This Holy Gospel text is yet another great display that reveals God doing all of what is needed for salvation. Oh, how your eyes are to remain fixed upon the one who came to do it all for you. This battle between Jesus and Satan was the first fleshly engagement touched off by the Lord of your salvation. In order to tread down Satan under your feet, it was the first defeat of the hellish host to show to all of the evil ones that now a stronger one had come. If you remember from the Epiphany season, or at least the beginning of the Epiphany season, the Lord was baptized in the River Jordan, baptized into your sin, moving forward in his ministry, his redemptive ministry for you. So what's the first task that he takes on for you after his holy baptism? Most think that it's having the devil attack him. And that's not wrong, it's correct. But in your Lord's case, he enters the battlefield, led by his own spirit, to begin the attack upon Satan, just as David ran to Goliath. And he doesn't leave the battlefield until he has won the last engagement for you. He continues by way of the cross, and through his crucifixion cries out, it is finished. Oh, how your eyes are to remain fixed upon the one who came to do it all for you. Just as the Holy Spirit brought Jesus out into the wilderness, God's holy baptism of you brings with it the same escort to the front lines of battle. Through this holy action of God in baptism, a major dividing line of sworn enemies are established. As much as most would like to think that holy baptism is just a quaint little custom, it actually means the ongoing death of the old Adam and the resurrection of the new man for the remainder of life on earth. Every baptized child of God now bears the sign of the seal of Christ crucified, the mark of a soldier serving under the crucified one. The devil is the sworn enemy of God and all of the works of God. His unswerving overarching goal is to devastate God's people and destroy God's kingdom. But sadly, you in your weak, sinful flesh, you the baptized of God, you get conned into thinking that it's now up to you. The rest is in your hands when it comes to salvation. And friends in Christ, do you really think that you stand a chance when it comes to doing battle with the world, your sinful flesh, and the devil? These unholy three are constantly vexing you and having their way with you. And the sad thing is, your old nature goes right along with it. Herein lies the struggle. Are you a child of God or a child of Satan? Are you a servant of righteousness or a slave of sin? Are you a saint or a sinner? Well, the biblical Lutheran answer to this is yes. A frustrating yes. While remaining in this fallen world, in fallen flesh, every Christian is both saint and sinner, servant and slave, child and rebel. You would like to think that you can handle it on your own, that because you're a Christian, you should be rid of your life of sin. How two books can be referenced, even a Holy Bible, can be turned into a book of nothing but rules to live by. Jesus himself can even be turned into a spiritual coach, a teacher of moral precepts, or the one who gives you the pattern of a devout life. When this happens, my friends, the gospel is exchanged for the law. And there can be no comfort whatsoever. By the grace of God, be repenting and believing. Your lives are going to take place in the battlefield. Daily, a battle wages between the flesh of your old Adam and the new man who is in you, between your sinful nature and the new nature that you have by belief and baptism into Christ. The new man, driven by the gospel, seeks to serve God alone. And Luther spells out how this service is accomplished in a very short yet insightful statement, saying, God is not in need of your service. Your neighbor is. Serve your neighbor, and you're serving God. Faith will inevitably bring such service about. So don't try to keep track of it or to take credit for such service. God's in charge. The old Adam, your old nature, though, strives to stay alive. He is driven by selfish pride that is intent on feeding its own sinful desires. So he follows through on the jealous, greedy, hateful, ill will thoughts, words, and deeds. And there's only one way to deal with sin. It's not by reforming who you are, but by death and resurrection. Not by remodeling, but by demolition and reconstruction. And God is the one who does this. He kills to make alive all through his Son in what he has finished for you. As the old Adam dies, the new man arises. This is what happened this is what happens in your daily remembrance of your holy baptism and in hearing the word of God and partaking of his holy sacraments. This is what continues to happen. Oh, how your eyes are to remain fixed upon the one who came and did it all for you. One of the early fathers of the Lutheran Church preached on this holy gospel text. Here's a bit of what that proclamation sounds like. If you want to be eternally blessed by the battle of your Savior, your heavenly general, nothing more is demanded of you and all men than that you play the part of being a believing spectator. The important thing is not that you learn how to fight against sin and Satan from Christ's example, but the first and most important, the main thing, is that you are brought to believe that Christ battled for you in your place for your freedom and salvation. Whoever knows and senses his sins, whoever knows that he has served the devil, that he was full of unbelief, contempt of God's word, pride, vanity, lust, and the love of the world, or that he at least has not really battled against the world, flesh, and Satan, let him merely look to his Savior. This champion from the stem of David has held the field for you. This lion from the tribe of Judah has conquered for you. Though you have fallen ever so deeply, though you may have even begged the devil's pardon, free yourself from this disgraceful tyranny. Side with Christ, then you are the victor over sin and hell. Then Christ also divides the spoils of the war with you. Forgiveness of sins, righteousness, life, and salvation are given you by faith alone. What this early Lutheran father means by side with Christ is be repenting and believing by the grace of God. Trust what he has finished for you. With your eyes remaining fixed upon Christ and his victory over the devil, then inevitably faith is being strengthened. It's being perfected because Jesus is the author and perfecter of faith. Just as the sling of David is scoffed at as never having the ability to break down the giant Goliath, so the cross of Christ crucified is ridiculed as foolish as well when it comes to the defeat of Satan. Jesus, though, is the victor, and he shares his spoils through his holy word and the holy sacraments that he instituted. He knows that by which man must live, not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. God's word creates and sustains life. It's God's word that bespeaks you righteous. As he enters your ears, it washes you clean as he flows through the water and enters your hearts. And it forgives sins and makes anew as he enters your mouths. No Lent and this life itself be a wilderness. Jesus is in this wilderness for you to be your refuge and habitation against the devil. a still small voice as he will. He can harm you none. He's judged the deed is done. One little word can fell him. To invoke Christ's name and his merits alone, to partake of the one who is the Word by faith alone, is to have him there in the desert, bringing the forgiveness of sins through his flesh. And through that, he has become that by which man must wait. He is your comfort. Oh, how God brings your eyes to remain fixed upon the one who did it all for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.